Something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Murray here. And 2020, we're all full of great intentions. We're going to achieve that work-life balance, but it is easier said than done, which is why we've got this lady on the line, Clodagh Erasmus from Evoke Coaching. And you are going to be part of the lineup at the Thrive Festival, which is going to be on at the Convention Centre February 29th and March 1st. And you're going to be giving advice to people about how to get that balance. So is it something that a lot of people are lacking, Clodagh?
Hi, Trina. Thanks for having me on. Yes, definitely. I suppose what I see in my own practice is that clients' lives, they're busier and busier. There's more demands on people in their work life. There's more demands on their personal life. So it's definitely something that people do need to work on.
So how can you get around that, though? Because work is not like it used to be years ago. You used to be able to leave the office at 5 o'clock. Nobody was able to contact you because they'd have to ring your house because there was no mobiles. You didn't have email on your phone.
No.
There's no actual end to your working day.
No, there's not. And this is quite a common theme for most clients. What I would say is, though, this is an area that coaching can help people, I suppose, put boundaries in place around their work life and also their personal life. So when I'm working with clients that have issues switching off, I'd ask them to think about what it is that they can do to make their life easier. And sometimes it is about just putting very, very strict boundaries. So it could be something like making sure that if you're at home with your family and having dinner, you switch your phone off or you put it in a different room so that you're not distracted. Also having plans in place to prepare for busy times. So sometimes there are times when work is going to take over and it will take a priority, and that's just life, unfortunately. So that if you can prepare for those times and put plans in place to make it a little bit less stressful. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not a one-size-fits-all. So what works for you may not work for somebody else.
Do you think that employers expect you to be on call, though, the whole time, ready to answer a query, no matter what time of the day it is?
I think that is beginning to change a little bit now. I do think that employers are considering their employees' well-being a bit more than they might have done in the previous few years. There's definitely a little bit of a shift, but I think unless we as people try to put boundaries in place ourselves and create change for ourselves, it'll take longer for things to change in general.
I suppose what it is, Clodagh, it's, you know, the person in the office who will always get back to you straight away, no matter what. And you know the ones that don't, and you won't bother those ones.
You won't. Well, that's true. But I suppose it's being getting a balance between letting people know that you will get your work done, but also having the strength to say no to some things. Because there's just some times where if you take on too much, you're not serving yourself, and you're certainly not going to make a good impression if you're taking on too much on work and you can't achieve everything. So it's about finding the right balance yourself and developing, I suppose, an inner strength to be able to manage it. And another area that I would encourage clients to think about is their energy management. So what are they doing that helps their energy levels so that when they are in work and when they are expected to be productive, that they are in the best, I suppose, shape possible to be getting through their workload and be efficient in the working day, so that it might eliminate some of the extra demands on them as well.
Yeah. Are a lot of clients interested in this flexible working now, where they maybe work from home a couple of days a week, or do you think that's kind of a productive thing to do?
Yeah, definitely. It's something that is coming up more and more often, and particularly for parents. So it's being able to, I suppose, be able to do the school run and get to work and do a good day's work, but get home again then and be present for their children. It definitely is changing, and there's definitely more and more interest in this kind of work. It's not, I suppose, there's not as many jobs out there at the moment that are that flexible, but I suppose if you're working with an organisation and you are proving yourself and you are doing the best you can, ask and negotiate to see if you could possibly change your working hours.
Yeah.
Or negotiate working from home once or twice a week.
How would you suggest them bringing up that conversation? Because I think it's the initial kind of even mentioning it is what people find terrifying.
Well, I think that to prepare for the conversation, so plan it. Don't just walk into an office and say, I just want to have flexible working hours. This isn't working for me. Go in prepared. Have a plan of what you want to say. Show your achievements, talk about what you are very capable of and how you can still demonstrate that you are trustworthy and that you are capable of working from home, and letting, I suppose, your employer know that things don't need to change because you may not be sitting at your desk in your office one day a week. that, and quite often people find they're more productive when they are at home because they're not getting as many phone calls or people coming to their desk and interrupting them with face-to-face distractions. Being prepared, having a plan and walking into the office with a good scenario, I suppose, of how you can sell it to them.
Do employers tend to go for it, or do you see a lot of people who said that the boss said absolutely no way?
No, I think it's quite mixed now. I think employers value having good employees, and they know that good employees are not always that easy to come by. So in negotiating it, you need to make sure that what you're proposing works for the organisation as well as for yourself. So it has to be a mutually beneficial relationship. And I think once you can demonstrate that this is possible, employers are definitely far more open to it. Not all employers are quite open to it just yet, but I definitely think there is a shift in the mindset of employers.
Yeah, yeah. Do they have to pay the same amount in your salary even if you're working from home, or can they turn around and say, I'm going to reduce that salary because you're going to be working from home?
No, I don't think so. I think it would go back to your contract of employment. Whatever is in your contract of employment for your role should remain the same.
Right. So there's trust there. You just need to have the trust that you are going to do the work at home. You're not going to be going off getting your nails done.
And you're going to get through it. I think for people that do it and do it successfully, the proof is in the pudding. So, their employers will see that their productivity hasn't changed. In fact, for some people, it has increased because they're having less distractions and less interruptions.
They're wanting to make sure that everyone knows that they're doing the job as well.
That's exactly it. So, if you're working from home, you're still going to be available. You're still going to be online. You're still going to answer your phone. You're not going to do anything any differently. You're just working from a very different location. That's it.
It's the commute for a lot of people that really stresses them out. Even get into work, they might have been sitting in traffic for an hour and a half. It's not a great start to the day.
No, it's a stressful way to start the day. And some people, by the time they get to work, they feel that they've already started they've already done their day's work because they've sat for so long in traffic.
It
makes for happier employees and more productive employees to be able to negotiate flexible work and working from home.
So what are the topics that are planned then, Clodagh, for the Thrive Festival? What are you going to be covering?
So we are going to be covering, so myself and two other coaches, Elaine from A Cup of Coaching and Alison from Echo Steps, we're going to be talking about finding your power. And when we're talking about finding your power, it's about having the strength within you to live a fulfilling and purposeful life. So it's going to be an interactive panel discussion. We're going to be talking about finding the power of love. And this will be talking about how you see the relationship with yourself and how positively you see yourself, because this can impact every decision that you make. We'll be talking about mind power. So this will be about your ultimate mental well-being. We believe that everyone needs to have an inner strength and awareness about themselves to achieve what they want in life and to live their life, I suppose, according to their own values. And then we're also going to be talking about the power of the outdoors and considering a space to be yourself away from the pressures and judgments of day-to-day life. So you can't really underestimate the value of the outdoors and what nature can do for you.
How did you get into this field then, Clodagh? Did you have a moment where you suddenly got clarity?
Yeah, I think I did, yeah. Now, I worked in sales and marketing for a long time, and I found after many, many years that I just really enjoyed self-development and helping other people. So when I had I have two small children, so I understand the pressures of trying to manage it all and the term work-life balance. So I decided after my second child that I wanted to do work that's meaningful to me and really gives me a sense of purpose. So I went back and I studied life and executive coaching, and this is where I met my friends here, Elaine and Alison. So the three of us studied together, and we all work ourselves as life and career coaches in our own practices, and then we get together and do talks every now and again.
Because it used to be a real American thing, didn't it? Having a life coach.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing more and more of it in Ireland now.
Yeah, I think people have become more self-aware and realise that it's okay to get help when you want to make change, because sometimes people know that they need change and that they're not happy, they might be stuck in a rut. And sometimes they just don't know how to go about doing it. And this is where a life coach can come in and help someone. It just kind of facilitates the change. And it's like a mutually beneficial relationship where you help the person move on.
It's like another set of eyes just kind of coming up with a solution.
That's it.
That you might not see yourself. Yeah.
Mm. Sometimes people don't have the courage, or they don't see something within themselves that they need to make the change. Where through our questioning, they might realise, actually, you know what, I can do this. And that's where coaching, I think, is very beneficial.
And have you had people who have had totally changed their lives as a result of going in to see you?
Yeah, lots of people. But some people do. A lot of people come because they don't know they're in jobs and they're just not really sure that this is what they want. And like myself a few years ago, they're kind of going, will I change, will I not change? And then through a process of many different processes, we can identify other interests and talents that people have,
yeah.
And you can transfer your skills to other industries and roles as well.
I think it's the fear, isn't it, financially as well,
yeah.
Of changing,
yeah.
Career. You know, when you have a job and you might have a very good job, but you don't love it.
No,
and you spend so much time working, you should love what you do.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, coaching is about helping someone live a purposeful and meaningful life. And if you're not happy in your job, that affects you completely, really, because you don't come home and forget about your work. I mean, it stays with you whether you want it to or not. So it's really, really important that you do choose to do something that you really, really enjoy. And that's the beauty of coaching. And that's what we enjoy, is helping people realise and get to where it is that they want to go.
Yeah.
And it makes people consider as well all of the things that are involved in the decision-making process. It's not just about your career. It's about your family. It's about the supports around you. And lots of other factors as well.
Yeah, I'd say there's been a lot of people who've noticed a real change positively, like that if you've got children at home and you're trying to make everything work. If you change to something that suits you a little bit better, how that can impact the whole family.
Absolutely, because I suppose I take a holistic approach to coaching. I don't just, if someone comes to me for career coaching, I just don't focus on their career. I focus about what else is in your life. And how will it impact that? Because it does impact everything. And it's great to see when people come out the other side of it, how happy they are and the change that is made to them and their families and whatever else is happening in their personal lives.
Well, how can we contact you directly if we're interested in speaking to you about career coaching or life coaching, Clodagh?
Yeah. So my website is www.evokecoaching.ie. And I'm on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at Evoke Coaching.
Okay, we'll have a look at that there. And you're going to be at the Thrive Festival on a convention centre on February 29th. Are you there both days?
We're there both days. We were there last year and we're delighted to be back again this year. It's a great one-stop shop for anything health and well-being. And I suppose it's a place to find out about fitness classes, there's demonstrations and trying new wellness routines all under one roof.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be lots of energy fitness classes, there's yoga and Pilates classes, there's going to be over 80 talks and workshops, and I think about 20 health eating demonstrations. So there's a lot going on over the weekend.
Yeah.
It's a jam-packed few days.
Okay, well, the February 29th and March 1st weekend at the Convention Centre in Dublin. Thanks for joining us today, Clodagh.
Thank you, Trina. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.